legacy that's long. That's the legend of the Armstrongs. Questions get answered, oh, you didn't know. Let's start the show.
Welcome back to the show. It's Road Dogg and Cassio, and you're listening to...
Oh, you didn't know?
A bonus show, baby. Bonus. We got a little YouTube-exclusive bonus show, Road Dogg, because today you stirred it up, son.
Well, I didn't mean to stir it up, and that's the truth. People are saying, like, oh, he's just trolling. No, Glenn Gilberti, Disco Inferno trolls. Like, I've seen his Twitter account. He trolls. These are my legitimate feelings that I thought I put out there as honestly as I could, but it's apropos that this may be out on election day, because like this go-round with the midterms, everybody's going crazy, and I feel like it's bled over into wrestling Twitter as well. Everybody's going crazy. It's just wrestling. It's just my opinion. Brett and I get along to this day, and I stated all that if you'd listen. But how dare I ask that you listen before you comment on Twitter?
Well, go back and listen.
Who the hell do I think I am?
Because what we're talking about, if you missed it for some reason, you said... Basically, you shit all over Bret Hart. No, I'm just kidding. You said, basically, that you, as a wrestler, you didn't think Bret Hart was a great wrestler. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And I feel that way today, even though everybody has been really angry at me on Twitter. I still feel the same way. But it, like I said, it's just my opinion. Like, it's not meant to take anybody's... business. I think my AC just cut on. I didn't mean to take anybody's livelihood away from them or hurt their feelings or offend anyone. But look, that's the hyperbole is the verbiage of the day, and everything is the best or the worst. And today I'm the worst. And so I'm sorry. I shared an opinion on a platform that I was given in order to share my opinion.
Well, you're trending, buddy. Opinion is very important because you are trending.
I'm trending.
I wanted to read
motion.
Some of these to you and see okay. your. Let's get some feedback. Again, you said, I don't think Bret Hart was a great wrestler. I think I was a better sports entertainer than Bret was.
I think that's where the money is. I was very specific about that.
This guy, Covalent TV, said, well, Road Dogg has to be violating the wellness policy again.
Yep, I get that. He thinks I'm doing drugs again. So that's very, very funny, very quick, like never been used before in the past 12 years that I've been sober. Nobody said any drug jokes at all, have they?
No.
Especially not me. But look, that's his opinion. He thinks I'm on drugs because my opinion differs than his.
You mean opinions are a thing in wrestling?
Yeah, I'm not even giving opinions in wrestling. I'm giving opinions on this podcast. You know what I mean? Where I get free blue chew. And that's basically the only reason I'm here. No. No, that chili sleet and that
and Manscaped.
Yeah.
And brand new sheets.
Yes, and the Rectech grill, to be quite honest with you.
Let's see. Public Enemies podcast said, if you know someone who genuinely thinks Road Dogg was more entertaining than Bret Hart, I have news for you. You don't need him in your life. Well, first of all, I'm not in their
Southern
life.
Man, need him around.
Entertainment wise, you did say that. You did entertainer, you're better, period.
I just think as an entertainer, if you ask me to go out there and entertain a crowd, I would have different ways to do that other than grappling and wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by that. And I stand by that right now. And if you disagree with that, then cool, we can have a conversation about that. I don't think it's an argument worth having because nobody wins or loses, but it's just my opinion. And I'm sorry that my opinion has caused me to trend on Twitter. But the one thing I can say is, man, thank you all for listening, because surely you listened to the entire, what was it, hour and 45 minutes sure. of every word I said to make sure you understood my message clearly. Surely you listened to it before you commented on Twitter. Oh, you didn't? And I should stop calling you Shirley. Got it. Jiminy Christmas.
The Groucho Mark, he tweeted.
The Groucho Mark.
Yeah, yeah. The Gala Gala Island is his Twitter handle. He says, when you say sports entertainer, you mean the ability, versatility to work with any written setup, storyline, angle, or whatever for entertainment purposes, correct?
Correct.
For example, Brett wouldn't do something hokey if he thought it would hurt the serious nature of the Hitman character.
100%. Bingo. Who's this guy? This guy gets a gets
the
some
Groucho
cookies.
Mark.
Groucho Mark, I want you to send him some of your edibles.
You don't send him some of your edibles.
You don't have to. I know how stingy you are.
By the way, speaking of that night, which we talked about, our episode was the Montreal Screwjob, as it was 25 years ago.
Right.
Emmanuel Wall says, I too was there for the Screwjob. I thought once HBK humped the Quebec flag, the separatists would kill him. Probably would have if they would have known where his hotel was. The Gazette earlier in the week broke the story that Hart was leaving, and we figured, well, what's the point? Brett's going to lose.
Yeah. Well, look, and I think even fans, local fans were like, well, yeah, he's leaving, so he's going to drop the title. Everybody does that.
Right.
And so that's the fact where Brett and I start to separate philosophies. And I think I said this too, and I'm not sure, but Steve Kaufman said, like, you and him just see wrestling differently. Yeah. And it was like, holy mackerel, it's so simple, yet so it was so deep to me, profound to me, because I thought, man, that's it. Brett and I just have totally opposite philosophies on wrestling. I love the Gaga. I love the sports entertainment. I don't love so much the ground game. And I don't think I'm in the minority when I say that. Like, I feel like, yeah, a lot of... Look, I also stated that Brett was the most over guy, the first over guy I ever saw. And holy mackerel, it blew my mind that a wrestler could be that over. I said a lot of things on this podcast that I feel like if people gave it their time, and look, I'm not giving you clickbait. Don't click. I don't give a crap. but if you're interested, which you're taking time out of your day to comment on a social media platform about how stupid I am, well, that's cool. I am pretty stupid. I got to be honest with you. I did a lot of dope and got hit in the head with chairs a lot. I don't have very good common sense. However, I've been doing this a minute, and I feel like it's okay for me to share my opinion, but if it's not, please let me know. But you took the time to comment on Twitter. Give it a listen. Give that one. He mentioned it a second ago. Go back in the archives and find out the Montreal Screwjob episode and give it a listen. Look, you're going to disagree with a lot of things I say, but surely you'll understand and you'll identify that I'm saying it with respect and from an honest place. If you don't, then you're the bad guy in this situation, not me. I just shared my opinion. If you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck
What's it. Up, YouTube? It's your boy Cassio and the Road Dog. We are here for a YouTube exclusive version of...
Oh, you didn't know?
Well, dog, if you didn't know, you are catching some heat. Not the podcast heat like we're a part of, but from our man, Dax Harwood. He is... said some things. He started his own.
Hey, you popped on the show last time too.
I did. Yes.
You look like Dollar Tree Dax.
Not my name. Come on. Come on.
No. It is your name. It's my show, and it's your name. But look, I did.
Dollar Tree Dax.
I did want to ask you, DTD, I did want to ask you, like, you heard about this, right? About Dax Harwood kind of going in on me. He was asked, by co-host Matt Kuhn, on their podcast. So what do you think about all this? And look, I appreciate that you're a friend of mine and that you're on my show, but I want to hear your take on it before I give you mine.
Absolutely. So, like, yeah, so basically, like, Dax talked about you and all the stuff about, like, your past situation, and I don't know all the dynamic of your guys' relationship. I just know you and how you are, and you're, like, you know, I think the misconception of you on social media is very overblown and taken to an extreme where it's, like, things get leaned on, and I keep saying on social media, is like, don't judge people until you actually meet them. You know what I mean? Don't judge them until you meet them. And
well,
like,
you are spitting in the wind there.
You're a rarity, my friend.
And so, like, getting to meet you at WrestleCon for the first time, you were the nicest person. You introduced me to Billy Gunn. You introduced me to everybody as like your new social media guy. And then it all, and then just understanding too, like, you know, Dax, I got to meet Dax a couple times and he was a very nice person too. Yeah. And so, and then knowing the similarities that you guys have, like you're both Southerners and you're both like men of God and like God fearing and all that stuff. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that balances out with that. And then just to see the whole situation and dynamic of you guys go. And like, even the fact too, I will add that, like, I think Dax like is one of the best wrestlers going from an in-ring standpoint and all that stuff. And like, I ranked him up there for Wrestlers of the Year. We had to nominate him for Wrestling Inc.
Yeah.
I did Dax. I did Jeff Jarrett for different reasons.
Different reasons, right.
Different reasons. And then I did Jon Moxley too, cause he was kind of the balance of it all.
Yeah.
And so, but it's just, I think it's a crazy situation, but you guys have a relationship.
So let me ask you this. Why does Dax get the credit and the other kid doesn't?
I think a lot of it is being kind of more vocal on social media aspect of it comes into play. You know, and he is very outspoken and says what's on his mind and whether he's wrong or right about it. Like, I think that kind of comes into play, where Cash is just a little bit more low key about it all. I think, you know, and there's a balance to social media life. There definitely is, you know, you want to promote yourself, but there's also the allure, the air of mystery that you kind of want to keep too.
John, you mentioned Jon Moxley. He's never been on social media.
Right.
And it's probably beneficial for him, to be quite honest. I know it's beneficial for him mentally and emotionally in every other way.
For all of us, it would be.
Yeah, but
right.
But it's probably helps his character a bit. You know what I mean? Because I don't know everything about him. So I appreciate your take on it. And I don't disagree with that. I think me and him are very much alike, and there's some differences, and we'll probably get into those as we go.
Dax, thanks for popping in.
Yeah. Thanks for popping in. Hey, thanks for your take. But like I said earlier, it's my show. So can you ixnay him?
Buzz on off.
He can go back to whatever cult compound he was broadcasting from there. Me and you have got to get to the man and the actual quotes.
Yeah.
From Dax himself. I want to break it down. We got like three paragraphs where he broke down some. He gave a quick story of basically his run-ins with you, Dog.
Yeah.
And we'll get kind of your take after each paragraph of just what you think. So first of all, and I'm going to quote as best as I can. These are pretty much. These are the transcripts as far as I can tell. So okay. I think the day Road Dog met me, he didn't like me. We had a match that you may have heard of against American Alpha at Dallas, NXT Dallas. That's one of my favorites of all time. I had in my mind what the match was. I had a story I wanted to tell. I knew the false finishes I wanted. I knew exactly how we wanted the front half to go. I knew exactly what was going to work. He offered an idea the night before Dallas. We were talking with Jordan and Gable. I was explaining them the story that I wanted to tell, and he offered an idea. I didn't shoot it down. I just didn't think it fit into the story I wanted to tell. First off, Dog, is that a correct statement? First, did you not like him the day you met him?
So that's, it's not that I didn't like him the day I met him. It's that he rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't know that that was something he did or something that is on me. And if it's on me, I'm in a place in my life where I'm trying to correct those, character defects. So if that's on me, I'll accept that. But he rubbed me the wrong way from day one. And I think, you know,
you didn't have a preconceived notion though.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
You're saying this was after interacting with him.
This is after our first interaction where, what I saw and what I heard was exactly what I just saw and heard there. I was telling Gable, I was telling Jason Jordan, I was telling everybody what to do. And Road Dog came over and had an idea, and I brushed him off and acted like I knew better. That's what happened. I mean, he just repeated it. So if I was salty that day and that rubbed me the wrong way and I went over and said something negative about him, I could see that happening 100%. I can see that happening like with with me and with him and with 100 other people the same way. Somebody rubs you the wrong way, you go tell your friends, right? So let's continue on what he said.
Yep, he said, Dog went to an unnamed source who was a very big part of the WWE office, and he proceeded to bury me and told that person that I thought I knew everything and I would never try to learn anything and all this stuff. And so, you know, I had my own reservations about him. Like you mentioned, well,
about him, that's an important prepositional phrase there, or excuse me, a pronoun. Who's he talking about? Me? Like he had his own.
Yes. So about me. After you went to an unnamed source that's a very big part of the WWE office, you buried him to that person. You told that person you thought that Dax knew everything and that you, Dax would never try to learn anything and stuff. And so Dax now has reservations about you.
Well, I understand you having reservations about me, but in our short, brief first time, our interaction, you showed me that you knew better not only than me, but all your teammates and all your opponents and the referee and everybody. You knew it all, and nobody could tell you anything. So that was my first take. That's what I relayed to somebody. Let's continue.
He goes on to say, then come a year later, I wanted to say it was right around December, there was some sort of gimmick gauntlet tag team match on SmackDown, and for some reason the fans thought the Revival was going to make their debut there. The fans were tweeting and freaking out over it. When the match was over, and, you know, we were heels, him talking about FTR,
yep.
Dak says, I went on Twitter and said, you fans thought we were going to debut on the main roster in a stupid gimmick gauntlet match. You've lost your mind or something like that. At the time, Road Dogg was booking, and he took offense to that because I said, stupid gimmick. He proceeded right on Twitter that if I kept up, he would make sure that I'll never make it to the main roster, which if I never make it to the main roster, that cuts into my money, which goes into the money that I make for my family, which I can provide for my daughter who can go to college, or I can make sure my wife has food, and that's what bothered me. Do you remember this Twitter exchange with Dax?
I do. And look, this is one part where I think he got it right. I shouldn't be on Twitter responding to people like that. I probably shouldn't be on here responding to Dax like that, to be quite honest with you. But I am, because he said something and I can say something back, I guess. It's not that I don't like you and I didn't like you from day one. You rubbed me the wrong way, dude. And first, you know, first time's a charm or whatever the old saying is. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, yeah. Then we had this Twitter thing. You were on, you're in developmental wanting to come up to the main roster, and heel or no heel, I don't care if you were in character during this, you said, oh, this stupid thing. You're burying the product that you represent. But you don't represent it yet because you're not there yet. And so I could have never stopped you from making it to the, thank you for thinking I have that much power, but I could never stop you from making it to the main roster. You made it to the main roster. You just didn't make it on the main roster. So I don't know what else, we need to say. You and I just disagree. And I think, to be quite honest, Dax, if we sat down and had dinner, we would agree on way more than we disagree on. We started off on the wrong foot, and if half of that's on me, I'll accept that half. But if half of it's on you, are you willing to accept yours?
Let me get some of these more. He has two more quick paragraphs. I want to get the facts out and get your side of it.
Okay.
And if you see it the same way he did.
Yep.
Right after he put that tweet out, I got a call. This is Dax. Yep. I got a call from Mark Carano or a text from Mark Carano, and it led to a call from both of those guys
I want to just stop there. Who's both of those guys?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And I understand one of them's Mark Carano. I don't know if he's saying the other one is me
or not. It led to a call from both of those guys. Did you call him after that Twitter exchange?
I don't remember doing that, but,
okay.
I have a horrible memory.
He says to make sure they were covering their tracks because Road Dogg basically said he was going to make sure that I would never have any advancement in the company. Legally, they're not allowed to do that because they're in a power and position in the office. And for him to say, I'm going to make sure you're not going to move up and you can't advance your money, legally, he shouldn't be able to do that. So they were trying to cover their tracks. You don't remember the phone call. Do you remember anybody ever calling you saying, hey, bud, you messed up on Twitter. We need to
fix a fire. I think they called him and said he messed up on Twitter. And I think that's, I feel like that's the truth. Like you're burying the product under which you work. You know what I mean? You're burying the where you're trying to get to on Twitter for all to see, whether you're a heel or not. That's just bad business. And again, that's just my opinion.
He says, final deal here. He says, then fast forward, and I'm sure we'll talk about this one day. He's talking about it on his new podcast.
Yep.
Raw 25, I had to go in there and make sure that all of Sean and his friends looked like $1 million. We got to the back, and Road Dogg passed right by me. He didn't say thank you after we bumped around for him. The only person that said thank you was Sean Waltman. So as a wrestler, I respect everything he's done for the business, and I respect the path he's paved for us. As a person, I don't know how much respect I have for him.
Well, you know, I understand. I hear you, Dax. I don't know what we're to say here or where we're to go. Like, we started off on the wrong foot and we ain't got on the right one yet. I'm willing to put the past behind me for sure. But as far as the Raw 25 thing goes, like, I'm sorry. I really am too that I didn't thank you, because I don't feel like that's like me. But I also at the same time thought, like, well, is that, do you need that? Like, you know what you did. You went out there and you did what you were supposed to do and you did it really well. I didn't know I needed to thank you and say how great you were in order to get your respect as a human being. But I do apologize for not thanking you, and I thank you now publicly for doing that for us. But don't act like you're above that, because you were in the ring with a bunch of Hall of Famers, man. And I know you don't like me, but I was in the ring, and I'm a Hall of Famer, and I was one of those guys. And I'm sorry if that offends you, or if I don't respect the mat enough for you. But I got a different idea about pro wrestling than you do, and mine's the one that makes a bunch of money, and yours the one is that pleases all the boys. And so, well, you know, I don't know, poop in one hand, wish in the other, but we can get past this. We just can't talk about politics or wrestling with each other, I don't think. And actually, our politics probably align too. But I just, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many similarities. We're going to let this little thing hold us back from, I don't know. I'd love to be on your podcast. I'd love to have you on my podcast. I think this is an invitation to heal the world, to start with the man in the mirror. And I'm damn sure willing to look at me. Are you willing to look at you? So that's, you know, let's move forward, and let's get past the gripes of yesterday and make this better and do better as people. If I've done something to offend you, if some of this is mine to own, I own my half. Do you own yours?
There you go. You heard it from the man himself. That's what we're about. We're getting the opinions. We're reacting live here on the YouTube exclusive. Thanks everybody for watching. Comment below. Let us know what you think. Hit that like and subscribe button. Dog, I appreciate you taking time to respond.
Thank you.
Your name's in the headlines. We got to do this.
I appreciate you guys letting me redo it, because the first one I cut, I don't think it's proper for, it'd be like TV 14, I think. There was some anger issues, but we got past it. Dom cried and left for a brief moment, but we got past it, and here we go. We're going to move forward. That's growth, ladies and gentlemen. I saw my misbehavior, and I cut it off before we pushed send.
We'll save that one for when Jeff Jarrett takes his job in a couple years.
After I go on the Dax Hardwood podcast, and I'm serious about that. Look, we are under the same umbrella now. I'd love to come on your podcast. I'd love to have you on mine. That's an open invitation, and it's for real.
There you go. From ours to his, we appreciate him joining the family, and yep, we rebutted the best we could. And like Dog said, hope we can do it. I mean, me and Matt Coon, we're just the sidebar here. I mean, he can die for all I care. I don't care.
I hope you die.
Just kidding. Love you, buddy. Love you, Dax. Love you, dog, man. Appreciate you taking the time during this holiday week. And look, if you don't like this and you're not about it and you're watching this, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
Welcome back. We got a little YouTube exclusive. We're kind of raw dogging it right now, Road Dog.
Hashtag raw dogging it.
I am the Casio Kid. That is the Road Dog.
Oh,
Brian,
you didn't know,
James. And we've got an Oh You Didn't Know exclusive here to our YouTube, making the headlines, going around social media. Dog, two guys that you know very intimately. You're good friends with both. You've been involved with them throughout your career. Vince Russo. Yep. And Jeff Jarrett, going back and forth, my friend.
Yeah, it's life imitating art. You know, first they fought over TNA and WCW and all that stuff, scripted. Now it seems like we're getting a little real life fallout. I know both these guys personally, and I don't know where they're at, but I've had fallings out with good friends of mine as well. You know what I mean? So I don't know how deep this goes, if it's personal, if it's business. But I'm going to dig a little and try to find out, and maybe we can cover this segment on an upcoming Oh You Didn't Know podcast.
Yeah, dog, real quickly, back in the day, for better or worse, was Jarrett a Russo guy due to their success together?
Yeah, I fully believe that in all my heart to right now, to this day. Like, look, I think, you know, one may have said something that rubbed the other the wrong way. And again, I don't know exactly the terms of this skirmish, but I do know them both personally, and I know they're both good people, God-fearing people. And so I'm hopeful that this is just a spat and it will work its way out. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what's not going to work is going to Twitter and tweeting about it. That's not gonna work for anything except maybe up your numbers a little bit. But look, I hope it does for everybody involved. And I don't know if they're going to fight. I guess Twitter's as good a place as any.
Well, I was about to say they're tied at the hip. I mean, Russo was there. He was the head writer for Jarrett's WWE character change in the Attitude Era.
Yep.
And kind of the main reason he jumped to WCW for that main event push, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can only imagine that, but I haven't spoken to Jeff about that being the reason. But you got to take an opportunity like that when it presents itself to you, and that, what a better time. So, yeah, they have been tied at the hip. So that's why it's a little upsetting to me to see them having a disagreement. But, look, I had a disagreement with Vince Russo, and I do know, you know, when you're working – for a company and you're trying to do the best you can and then somebody else on the outside just criticizes it all the time. Like, that's what I got into it with Russo about. And it kind of came between us. And then we did that quick podcast with Dr. Chris Weatherstone. We were the, I forgot what the name of it was, the Outlaws, something Outlaws. And so then we made up and everything was fine. But so, look, I understand where it comes from. You get a lot of heat on Twitter, no matter what you say. And so you want to start a fight, you want to pick a fight, you want to get in a fight no matter what, go on Twitter. Because there's somebody waiting, and I don't know if it's a bot or just bless their hearts, there's somebody waiting to disagree with you feverishly, no matter what side you take on any coin.
What's your look? And if anybody listens to Oh You Didn't Know Pod, as they know, your remembrance of things is a little foggy at some point.
My memory is smoky.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Smoking Mountain Wrestling.
That's how to describe your memory. But what is your memory of Russo leaving WWE? Was it, quote, an experiment gone bad? What was your thoughts on when he left, or, quote, fired, whatever the case may be, from WWE?
I didn't really remember. But, look, bookers have their run. You know what I mean? Like a booker has their run, and then they kind of – sometimes they burn out. Sometimes you get into disagreements. Like, I know when I was writing SmackDown, I got into a lot of disagreements over my creative that I, as a team member of Team SmackDown and the lead writer, put together. I would argue feverishly for my pitch, because for my creative, because I thought it was the best way you know, that's the way we should go about it. I should pitch my favorite thing, and that's what we should do. And so I had a lot of arguments about that. So I can understand after a while, you start butting heads and getting a little defensive, and you go like, wait, no, I realize you are here the boss, but I don't think your idea is as good as mine. And that's where we're going to butt heads a little bit, but you get to be right because you're the boss. And so I understand it being frustrating and getting frustrating. And maybe he got fired for that reason. Maybe he got fired for, like, I don't think it was, if it was an experiment, it was a huge success. You know what I mean? Like, it was the Attitude Era happened. Holy crap. Well, I got a podcast right now because the Attitude Era happened. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if the Attitude Era hadn't happened, I wouldn't have a job in this industry at all. You know what I mean? And so look, I think if Russo was an experiment in WWE, mission accomplished. Then he got fired. He went in his other way. Do I think Jeff went with him afterwards because of their relationship? Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. So it hurts me now to see these two guys going back and forth. But from what I understand, and I want to say this very clearly, what I understand, and I didn't hear the words, but from what I understand, all Jeff said was Vince needs to look in the mirror. And so
I would love to know his thoughts after he took a look at the man in the mirror.
Okay, that's verbatim. Yes. Okay, so that's sound advice. It may rub you the wrong way. It may come out wrong. It may be delivered wrong. But those words taken upon themselves is the most sound advice anybody in the world could ever give you.
We should all do it.
I'll tell you this, if we're not all doing it, we're all doing it wrong, because ain't nothing I can change in the world outside of this. You know what I mean? This is what I got. And so if I'm going to get real, I got to look at that dude in the mirror and get real honest and get real like an onion, peel off some layers of that ego and that pride and get down to brass tacks where you got to look in the mirror and go, okay, I'm asking you to change your ways. But there's only one way to do that. And that's Michael Jackson's "I'm asking you to change your way." Question could have been any clearer. If you want to get the world of it, take a look at yourself and then make that change. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
So you got to make that change. So Vince Russo, don't get mad because he said, look in the mirror. You're a good-looking dude. Look away. Look away. Get lost in there. That's look sound away. Advice, man. Y'all don't be friends. I want you to hug and make up.
Jeff also said he made it clear that he's not particularly interested in helping Russo get people behind his paywall for this clickbait. By the way, we're doing this YouTube exclusive for clickbait.
Yeah, yes, we're all doing it for clickbait. So let's just be honest with each other. But truth be told, it was probably Marcus that put that up there, not Jeff.
That is whoever does the My World social media. But look, tell these guys to make up. These guys are your friends. By the way, you touched on it. You've touched on it on our pod. They can go listen to this. Yeah. But you've said a lot of people give Russo grief for some of the ideas that did not go well.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of things that went well.
A lot of things that went well, man. So you pick your poison. But also, look, that's just me in a nutshell. And this is me in a nutshell. Anyway, that's just me in a nutshell. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to look at the bad things he did. God almighty, we've all done some bad things. We've all made, and making a bad wrestling creative decision is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's just a bad creative wrestling decision that you did not agree with. So it says nothing to the man's character. It says nothing to who the guy is. And so, look, Vince Russo's a good guy trying to live his life the best way he can. Jeff Jarrett's doing the exact same thing. Sometimes paths cross and streams cross and things go sideways. All I want to say is for both of you right now to lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you. Carry on, lean on me, but it won't be long. Till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Or just a call on me, brother, if you need a hand.
Jeff and Vince all need to lean on. Okay, let's just get out of here with that.
Matt, lean on the D O double G.
Oh, you didn't know?
And we are live. Welcome back.
We're
to the
live.
Show.
L-I-V-E.
Cassio. And Cassio. And we're listening to.
Oh, you didn't know? Hey, yeah. We are live. And man, I shouldn't have had that second cup of coffee or that third coffee enema because I am on fire and I hope I don't say the wrong thing or step on anybody's toes.
Not to get too in the weeds, but I just chugged the AG1, some Athletic Greens. I'm rocking. Oh, and
yeah,
rolling,
so you're actually recording this from the toilet.
Yeah, ready to go. Look, instead of DX, this is a YTX YouTube exclusive, baby.
Exclusive, I love it.
And
I love
we're
it.
Inviting everybody live. It's our first one live, so we'll get to a few comments as well. We're going to try to stick close to topic, and that is Mr. CM Punk. Zol Lopez chiming in, Road Dogg and Cassio. What's up, buddy? Josh
hey,
Rosenbaum
Zol.
Is there as well. So we appreciate
Hello,
everybody.
Huge fan of your promos, Road Dogg. Your
Look
work.
At that.
Your work, on the other hand. Jeff says, not so fancy. Hey, Jeff.
What no, about my don't, promos?
Look, no, yeah, Jeff, his promos suck. A lot better in the ring, though. Cassio Kid can work. I, on the other hand, had to stick to the promos.
Well, dog, we'll get a little bit into CM Punk is in the headlines
yep.
today and the last few days and seemingly every day. Is, of course, his return. Is he returning to AEW? Is he returning to WWE? Tony Khan went on Maggie and Perloff, a CBS Sports radio show. Shout out to them. Great show, by the way. But he said, they asked him point blank, would CM Punk be returning? He said, I cannot comment on that.
Yeah. No comment. That's legal for no. I can't talk about that. You know what I mean? It's no comment. So look, it just tells me that there's some legal issues going on, maybe contractually. And so he can't comment on it. It makes perfect business sense. You know what I mean? Of course, I want to know, like, what's going on, man? What happened? Is he still there? Is he going to?
We're all waiting.
We all want to know. And look, I think the reason we all want to know is because he's still a draw. And at his age, and I don't say that despairingly because I did or had a run older than him, but it wasn't ever, I'm not comparing any of my runs to his run. He had a great one. But like, he's an older guy, but I still believe, and I do believe this, whether I like the dude or not, I believe this. He's got another run in him, and because he's what we call in the industry a needle mover, and we actually have never called them that before. But I just said that, and I thought it would sound cool if I said.
It's gonna look good in the memo. Like.
In the biz, we say, you know, whatever. No, but he moves the needle, like, and that's just a fact. And so, yeah. If my personal feelings about the dude go over and blind me to the business aspect or the business perspective with him and his and who he is and what he brings to the table, then I got a problem. You know what I mean? But I make no mistake about it. Can we get one more Road Dogg Royal? No. Yeah, I can get. He said, I tell you what, I can't have the deluxe royale. I will eat one of those. A double with cheese and double mayo. So I think, look, he's a needle mover. Like, I think wherever he goes back to or comes or goes or whatever he decides to do. And look, he may decide to not mess with this anymore. Like, I get that. I understand that mindset. Like, if you can, you know, it's like the mafia. If you can get out, run, man, run. But he may not want to play no more. But business says he can move the needle, and him showing up on your show, no matter what night of the week it is, makes people tune in, and that's a fact.
You know, everybody's bringing up the Rumble, of course, right around the corner. And if you're watching this in live time or close to it, and you know, Punk's had some memorable Royal Rumble moments. I think 2010, as far as I know, the super fans might know better, but you know, WWE was giving him a live mic in the middle of a Rumble. I've never seen that before. Haven't seen it since. But talk about how important that is. That's called trying to get a guy over, right?
Yeah, for sure. Look, so because he didn't agree with management on every single thing doesn't mean he was right about everything, you know what I mean? Or that management was, for that matter. It's all subjective. It's all, we all can debate it all we want to, but the truth of it is that the machine, which is what built him, the machine, I'll take that back. Not what built him. The machine is what presented his package to the world. He of course did the rest. You know what I mean? So it goes hand in hand, man. It takes a village to raise a kid. It takes a machine, an entertainment conglomerate to make a WWE superstar. And look, he was on top of the world and still is this many years later. So that speaks to his star power and his longevity.
You're going to make, of course, you made a little bit of headlines before talking about Dax. You're going to make some more headlines with our episode that just dropped, by the way. You had some more things to say because we covered Raw 25, and of course, Dax was a big moment with you. Well, and you.
We had, like, I don't feel, I want to say I didn't go back to him.
Right.
For no reason. I felt like I needed to to respond to what was, to what, you know, to what was said. And so, I would love to do his podcast and he can do mine. We can not do that. We can do whatever we want to. I'm cool with my side of the street. You know what I mean?
I brought it up to say also in that episode, you've also said that that Punk was an a-hole.
Josh, I'm trying to cover up you saying that I said Punk was an a-hole.
Yeah.
But I just said it really loud right into the microphone. and we'll come back to that because Josh Rosendahl asked a great question. Is CM Punk a sports entertainer or a professional wrestler?
Ooh.
Well, see, that's the beautiful part is I think he would tell you I'm a professional wrestler. But the truth be told, He's the sports entertainer. You can wrestle, dude. Yeah, you can go in the ring, but a lot of guys can do that. What do you do that's different? You entertain. And so, I think Punk's a great example of a guy that if you just went with wrestler, wouldn't have made it without the attitude and the mic skills and the I don't want to say character because I feel like Punk was never really a character. He was kind of just himself. But he's good at it. You know what I mean? And he made people tune in and people got behind him. And so what do you do? You don't like the dude? Okay. That's, you know what I mean? I don't have to like you. I don't have to take you out to dinner to,
Coach Rosie said, we all know he can't shoot fight. He's not very good at MMA.
Because he wasn't.
Fine.
But look, I didn't get in the cage and fight nobody. And I damn sure ain't going to. I can promise
I don't
you that.
I have a losing record because I'm not getting in a fight.
You can't lose if you don't fight. And that's the route I'll take. Which look, I think that's what a lot of people, in his defense, like he wanted to try that out. He tried it. He wasn't good at it. He's not trying it no more. He might still be training and stuff because it's functional. Awesome. Cardio and all that. So he may stay in shape using that stuff, but you know, he tried it and he made some money doing it. You know what I mean? He was on some shows and stuff with it. So you can't call him a failure. You just say two guys beat his butt, you know?
Yeah. Paul Walter Dave said CM Punk married well. He did.
Yeah, he did marry well. He did. Look, they're a great couple. They're a power couple in our industry. And truth be told, outside of that, and that's whether you like that or not, that's a fact.
Let me ask you this. I don't know what you can say or not say. We did not go over this beforehand. But, you know, Tony Khan saying he can't return to a... Well, I messed up. Tony Khan saying he can't comment on his return to AEW or not. Have you heard anything or can you say anything? Is the door permanently closed for Punk to ever return to WWE?
So, first and foremost... When you sent me the thing today that said there's talk about Punk coming back or something, I don't forget what the text said you sent me, but that was the first I'd heard of he's back in the news. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I haven't heard rumblings or any of the news or any chatter. But you know, with WWE, just I'm my only point of reference. Well, there's many points of references, but I'm one. Don't say never say never with these guys. You know what I mean? And because they will give you a second chance. They will give you an opportunity if it's business savvy. And bringing him back might be. And the reason it might be is because he's a needle mover.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, look, doesn't mean the door is wide open, but it doesn't. The door, like he said.
Yeah.
Who was that, Kel Tuckin?
Yeah.
The door's Kel never Tuckin. Permanently closed.
I got two words for you. Kel Tuckin. I don't know. Jose Rodriguez says, hi, guy, and this is my first time listener. You didn't know, happy to be here. Hey, Jose, you know, we have a podcast we do, too. You can listen over there. But you don't have to. It's not very good. We're not very funny.
We hope everybody hangs in. I think some of the questions with our latest episode, I'm going to bring it back up. You said, Punk's an a-hole.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to delve into it, but
look,
y'all just rubbed each other the wrong way. Is that a good statement?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And by the way, he probably thinks the exact same thing about me, and we're just too, maybe we're too much the same, maybe we're too far apart. You know, I don't know what it is, but it's not conducive to a flourishing relationship. And look, maybe we could under different circumstances, but now there's been some water under the bridge, and it was nothing. It really was nothing. And so I think we could definitely get past that for business. And we got past it for business then, but yeah, look, I'm not friends with the guy. I'll say that. I wanted to change it. I didn't like the guy, but look, I'm not going out to eat with him. I'm not going out to eat with a lot of people. You know what I mean? It's not just him. I read something earlier, and we might bring that back up, but where a lot of people love Punk, and they go, well, yeah, so what do you say to that? And I go, yeah, they love him. And I admit that's a fact, but I'm not one of those people. And that's also a fact. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, Ryan Muhammad messaged. He was one of our first messengers. I want to make sure I get to him.
Yeah.
Dog, a bud of mine met CM Punk at August C2E2, and he was very pleasant and cordial with him, and he talked finally about Mid-South Wrestling, JCP, Bret Hart, and business as a whole. Dax, Cash, Wardlow, Serena Deeb, Mark Henry, Adam Cole, Thunder Rosa, Bayley, Britt Baker, etc. have all praised Mr. Punk. Yep. Like you mentioned, first of all the names he mentioned currently work with Mr. Punk.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the roster that he's currently on, and I praise him too, just not his person. You know what I mean? I praise his intellectual property when it comes to you know what I mean, that our entertainment industry, our sports entertainment industry. So the guy's a huge get for anybody. He's a huge star. People love him. I don't know what, because I don't, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not going to hurt him at all, his feelings or his pocketbook. But I do know on the business side of things, he's a huge opportunity out there waiting, you know what I mean? For something.
Jose Rodriguez, by the way, says he does listen every single week.
Oh, man. So thank you. Jose, I apologize to you.
This was his first live one, but this is our first live one.
It is our first live one. Are we still live?
We're still live.
You got to put your pants back on, Cassie.
That means we're all nervous together. We're kind of edgy with each other. We don't know what to do.
It's L-I-V-E. L-I-V-E.
Yep. Well, look, everybody, I just want to say thanks for joining us. If you've got questions, get them in before we get out of here. But I feel like this was pretty fun. It was good to see the names starting to pop up.
Yep.
And I feel like we should do this a little bit more often. How about that, dog?
I don't know. This scares me.
Question, why did this become so public? I don't think that would have happened in the WWE. What do you think,
Ron? Well, I mean, look, if I was Tony Khan, I would have thought of a better answer, and I would have not answered politically. I'd have done the old DC dip and twirl, where you say a bunch of stuff but never say nothing.
Here's the deal. Wrestlers, and especially promoters / owners, whatever you want to call them there, they like to talk about their product. So I'm with you. The statement, I can't comment, usually means he's been told by legal not to comment. And so that is the very interesting part. So
look, we appreciate, the more important question about Punk should be, is the risk worth the reward? Well, look, and that's part, you'd weigh that, you know what I mean? And look, I'm also speaking way out of school. Like, I'm just talking about what Brian James thinks and sees as a person looking. I got no idea. They may say, hell no, we wouldn't take him. They may say, hell yes, we'd take him. I have no idea. And that's the honest to God's truth. All I'm saying is what I think and what I would do if I were, if it was my business, I'd want to hire him. And I'd say, I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's make millions of dollars together. You know what I mean? I can get over my hurt feelings for that.
Before we get out of here, Bobby KF5GTX, he wants to tell us, is it true DX is going to buy WWE?
We did put in an offer, but my credit card got declined. And so we couldn't. And I did say credit car, by the way. I didn't even finish it because mine
Your
is just
car's
a car.
On credit too.
Yeah, it's just a car. It's not a complete card at this point.
You had the offer and they repoed your car.
I know how we should, since this is our first one, I know how we should end it.
Oh.
I'll say, if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you. Suck it.